That second thing isn't on, Pete.
Huh?
The second dealie isn't on today.
That's good.
That's good this way?
That's good that way, because that means it's not on back.
Okay. We're still taking a look at joy. And today we're going to start in 1 Thessalonians. When I was in Greece, I went to it's pronounced Thessaloniki in Greece, but it's an incredible city. And it was at this time too, at the time of Christ. There's this humongous lake that goes for miles and miles, and then the city is right on the southern section of the lake. And around the lake, there's this thing that's in a lot of places, but they've laid, not brick, but flat stones. And so there's a pathway for bikes and walking and running. It's about, you know, 2 or 3 sidewalks wide. And there's only one little road getting into it and one leaving it. And it's traffic jams. When we went there, it's beyond the belief. But Paul, it was a major place in the time of Paul too, when this is written, and it's let's just see what it says. But I went to Corinth and Philippi and Thessaloniki. I went to a lot of places where I went to as many as I could that were the letters were written. So let's go, we said go there. Let's go to
John 3.
Okay.
9-13.
All right. Look, we'll start. First, it's a start down. Now we're gonna start before that. We're gonna start at Philippians. I can't even talk this morning.
Instead of Thessalonians.
Yeah, we're gonna we'll hopefully get there. Philippians 2. Philippians was written, obviously, by Paul in AD 64, and it's not known whether he wrote this from, while he was in prison, or he wrote it when they were taking him from Jerusalem to Rome for his trial. But anyway, it's just the last. It's at least the last few months of Paul's death or Paul's life. I get started and then I change, then I get confused myself. So we're going to go to Philippians chapter 2. No, let's go to 1:27.
Yeah.
No, we
finished at 1:26, so we.
We did go to 1:26.
Yeah, we did all of Philippians 1-26.
Oh, okay.
On Friday.
We didn't go to.
On Thursday.
Did we get to Philippians 2?
Yeah, we got to being of one mind, so we did get to 2. Just the beginning of it, I think.
Yeah, let's go to Philippians 2, verse 2. If there therefore be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord in one mind. That's the theme of Paul's writings, be of one mind. And it's one of the most difficult things for us to believe, that there's no private interpretation of Scripture. I don't want to go into that today. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Again, that mind of Christ. And let's go down to verse 17 now. Well, we have to start earlier. 12. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Do we do that? There's one mind, therefore there's one cross, it's your death. So you work out your own salvation by no more use of the mind, so you're in faith only, so you've let the mind of Christ be in you. And to get there, you work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. No private interpretation of Scripture. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, to all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or world, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. Again, joy, joy, joy. And then in verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Then he goes on this incredible section. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Even though he commended the Philippians in some ways, he said this incredible sentence, I have no mind like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own and not the things which are Christ's. Well, we've studied that a million times. Let's go to Philippians 4. Well, no. Let's go to Philippians 4, 3 first. finally, my brethren, rejoice. And again, that rejoice is the same as joy. It's kara, or kara. Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now, then he goes into this incredible definition of his position and why he could say that. Concerning the eighth day, of the stock of it, circumcised, the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Then this incredible thing, what things, yea, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now, that's the predicate of all of the readings that I've done over the last few months from the first century authors, or the letters to the various churches that aren't in the scriptures. But it was that one theme. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And that's even the things that you would think would be wonderful for Christ. But you knew the scriptures. Nobody knows the scriptures. Only he is revealed in them. Well, let's go on anyway. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So are we conformable unto his death? You're not unless you're dead. Does everybody understand that? You're buried in baptism because you died there. So the Son of Man in you dies, that the Son of God in you might live. From then on, you do nothing of or from yourself. No leaning on your own arm of understanding in anything. Remember that word that we've talked about lately many times, but it's, you cannot serve God and mammon. Turns out mammon is the real definition, is something that you rely on other than Christ, other than God. You rely on cause and effect? Do you rely on the confidence that of the things that you're able to do or work? It's everything. So that only faith lives. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. Some say the better translation is neglecting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or fully tested, be thus minded, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. How many times does it have the like-minded or something that means the same? Then here's his crying out. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. What is an enemy of the cross?
One who seeks their own.
It's more than seeking their own. It's one who uses that which is supposed to be dead . You've let the evil one raise himself from the deadly head wound. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly or their wants, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind or give breath to earthly things. For our conversation, our manner of life is in heaven. Now, from us also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That's probably, this whole chapter is probably one of the most important chapters in the Bible in terms of understanding this mystery. Any response? You can't do true preaching.
Pardon me?
You can't do true preaching. Can't be done without preaching your death.
Yeah. But that's what...
That's what is
happening.
And it happened. Okay. It's happened since the beginning.
And everybody, you know, if they hear the name Jesus being preached, they say, oh, okay, Jesus is being preached. That's fine, as Paul says. But without the preaching of the cross, there's no real life.
All right, let's go to Philippians 4, just one verse. Therefore, well, let's read 21 again, chapter 3, verse 21. Who shall change, and that word is change, there's a metamorpho. It means become a new thing. Who shall change, or our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. There's a, I don't know where it is right now, but you know, we just continue our lives and we get lost in doing things, and we hear it and then we don't hear it, and we hear it and then we don't hear it. But there's a scripture that says, and it's just kind of emphatic, and it's Christ talking. He said, "Now will I arise."
I'm sorry?
"Now will I arise." And when this arisen business, then it's over. And the garment can't be spotted by the flesh in any way. And that's where the fear of God comes from. Well, how is it it's spotted by the flesh when you give importance to things in the world. It's spotted by the flesh when you use your mind to solve problems. And you just... is spotted whenever you return to cause and effect in any way. Anyway, let's go to 1 Thessalonians, finally.
I had a comment on chapter 2 of Philippians, where it says, "Let nothing be done through the strife of vainglory, but in lowliness of mind that you esteeming other better than themselves, but not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And it says, "Let this mind be in you." So that's, those three verses describe the mind of Christ, as that's the way it unfolds. That's how he is.
Right.
And that's emptiness, in right. other words.
Yeah, you remember that's the whole thing that is so difficult to understand by any of us, when let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself, made himself of no reputation. That's what that no reputation means. It's you become a vacuum. You empty yourself so that the mind has no more function. Conscious mind has no more function. Subconscious mind continues to work, because otherwise you would die. I mean, if it would physically and spiritually die. Your mind, your conscious mind doesn't do anything that keeps you alive. All that's done by the subconscious. Your conscious mind does everything to try to keep you in the world. Anyway, second... No.
One more comment about that, that we've talked a lot about the word "let." So that's kind of a key aspect of this, it looks like.
Right. I've often said the two most important words in the Bible are "reckon" and "let." Because you reckon yourself crucified, therefore you're dead. You let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Because you emptied to the point of a vacuum, and therefore you then have the mind of Christ, because you're dead and gone and buried.
You're at rest, not exerting yourself.
Right. All right. 1 Thessalonians. Well, we're just going to read a few verses here, and then let's read verse 1. Stop it. We're going to read 1 through 6, I think. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. And this is 10 years before his death. That can be reckoned by the historians to this, almost to the day, because of he says things that were going on in the Roman Empire that in the letter, and so they can tell from that. But anyway, Silvanus and Timothy were with Paul in this journey. He had Mark was with him, and he sent Mark on the first journey. And he sent Mark back, so mad at Mark he couldn't even spit, and sent Mark, and then Peter. Mark went became the secretary, if you will, to Peter. So the book of the Bible called Mark is really the gospel according to Peter, and Mark was the scribe, if you will. Why do I go into all that stuff? Does that interest anybody except me? I guess
no.
Not.
Huh? No, nobody.
Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor and love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in the word only, but also in power. And that power it's not power like we think of power. It's power as the only way you can describe it. It's the power that causes a grain of wheat to become a new thing, metamorphosis, or the power that a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. That's the most visible one that we have. But in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak of anything. For they themselves show us that what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, who raised him from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, well, let me just talk a minute about something else I decided, or came to me to do anyway. One of the things that cemented what we believe and who we are and the whole idea of the church here was when we studied intently the offerings. We're not talking about the things that we did when it was called the hot seat. This is just the study of the offerings and how each of the offerings reveal some aspect of Jesus Christ. And so I haven't told anybody, even Pete, Lisa, but starting this week, we're going to do that comprehensive study of the offerings. And it's, to me, was probably the most important study we did. It was way back in the 80s, but...
great stuff.
But the study shows how every jot and tittle of the offerings, every speck of it, is a revelation of Jesus Christ and how he is really living now in us. And this, if you're doing something that's anti the offerings, then it's the tell in the cosmic poker game that you've resurrected yourself. So anyway, If anybody else wants to join us, they're welcome. So.
Well, on Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
Not here?
No.
Not here.
No, we've already done it here. So we'll do it. We'll do it on. We're going to do it Wednesday night. Since anybody. Well, when you put out the email, one of you about, you might include it to the whole, whatever that name of that.
Community, the
block on. Yeah. All right. Take it, big guy.